the audio at our new website, NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in here at Blue Sky Broadcasting, the talk side of our stations, on air at 97.1 FM, 1450, all across Boundary County, 1450 AM, and online at your computer or cell phone at NorthIdahoRadio.com. Welcome in. My guest today is Asia Williams, and this is her first time with you as a duly elected Bonner County Commissioner. She was on several times before as a candidate. We welcome her in as one of our county commissioners. We have lots of topics on our list. I want to invite you and your questions. Also, you can give us a call for a question or comment at 208-265-8255 and get in on the conversation. All right, first break right now. We will be right back.
Get a great deal and save more today on a brand new Hyundai at Midway Hyundai.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Hyundai. Workday, play day, every day. Hyundai. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Hyundai. Save every day at Midway Hyundai.
Why spend all day at the dealership? At Midway Hyundai, you save time with our fast lane delivery process. Complete all your paperwork and drive home in your new Hyundai in 60 minutes or less. Drive into the Midway fast lane today and start enjoying your new Hyundai in less than an hour.
Save every day at Midway Hyundai.
It's worth the drive to save today at Midway Hyundai. I-90 Autoplex and Post Falls, and go to Midway.com.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Hyundai. Workday, play day, every day. Save every day at Midway Hyundai.
60-minute fast lane delivery begins once vehicle is selected and purchase price is agreed upon and or financing is approved.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Susan, it's so great to finally be able to get together again.
Oh, it sure is. And I really appreciate you picking up the bill.
I'm happy to. I've got the extra cash. Since we've all been driving so much more again, I've been using Upside, the free app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes. I get real cash back just for buying the gas I was going to buy anyway.
But is it a hassle to use?
No. It's super fast and easy. And I can cash out whenever I want.
That's a total no-brainer. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app now to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code HEAT for an extra 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's promo code HEAT. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code HEAT for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code HEAT.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
KSPT. KBFI. North Idaho's radio.
All right, everyone. Welcome in. Join me. Say hello and welcome to Bonner County Commissioner Asia Williams. Thank you so much, Asia, for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And congratulations on your recent election, one of our new county commissioners.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Well, there have been a lot of issues recently about maintaining effective transparency for county business and county decisions. So let's break it down. The first thing I would like people to hear about is what are the rules that govern public comment in person at a county commissioner's meeting.
So specifically with respect to public comment, that is the discretion of the board and the chairman. And so prior boards have always allowed the public to give comments at openly, kind of a generic running comment, and then after each item. This current board chairman has limited to 4 people, 3 minutes for each business meeting. The community hasn't been happy with that decision. They feel it's an opportunity to discuss things with the board as a whole, but that was the decision that the chairman made, I think it was about 2 weeks ago.
The chairman being Steve Bradshaw.
Yes, Commissioner Bradshaw.
Who writes these rules? Where do these rules come from?
That is not something that was actually discussed with me. It was something that was stated. So I was made aware the same time the community was made aware that he was going to limit public comment and utilize his discretion to shut off public comment regarding what it was that you were communicating, how you were communicating. I think you saw on one of the meetings where he didn't like the comment that was being made and shut down the individual and actually asked them to leave the building.
I would say shut down rudely.
I think
rudely,
that
the person that was talking didn't just, you know, exert authority, but
that was a significant meeting that day.
I guess my question about who writes the rules is it is the discretion of the chair, but could county commissioners pass, you know, decide that they would pass as a group rules for future for the chairman and future chair?
They could definitely choose at this board to allow a section of public comment. You could also choose to say, let's do a prior to the Tuesday meeting, have a workshop with all of the community to give their questions and to give them an opportunity to put items on the agenda. For the last few weeks, I have been pushing a policy update that included agendizing in the public's sphere, as well as including the public in more of what we are doing. When you look at open meeting law, the AG writes a manual, and it is very clear that our job as county commissioners, it's not to secret away most of everything that we work on. It's actually the opposite.
Yes.
We do not give up our position as residents of Bonner County because we need local government. The objective is that we conduct business privately for very specific, narrow reasons. They have to do with, is there a court case that's ongoing or imminent? Not the fear of a case, but it's imminent. There's also the argument for human resources when you're specifically speaking about personnel issues. It's not a generic, whatever happens in human resources goes in executive session. And what I think we're seeing in our community is people that are being pushed out of local government instead of welcomed in, as they should be, because the majority of our government in terms of Bonner County should be transparent to the community.
You know, one of the things that concerns me, and I have seen this not just with this group of commissioners, but in other venues and other commissioners, is that it's the public comment, you know, comes in at a time, and it doesn't matter whether 95% are for it and one person stands up again. There seems to be no influence with the public comment. It's like the decision's already been made. It's just going through the motion of taking public comment. I understand the difference between a representative government where you are to make up your mind based on the knowledge you have, the experience, public input, and how you make you individually and as a board make decisions. But it just seems to me that public comment is like it might as well not even exist because it never seems to influence very much of anything. Am I wrong?
I don't disagree. And I think that is a big difference between myself and other members of this board and maybe even prior boards. I consider myself a representative, which requires that I represent what the community wants to hear and what they want to see, while I concurrently make sure that we're following the guidelines. And the way in which I represent that is a representative. As what, when you look at our board, it feels like it's more political. And so when people say, how do you like being a politician? My answer is, when I cease to represent the people is when I will become a politician. Currently, I am a representative, and that's what my goal is. And so in order to help the voice of the people, I'm going throughout Bonner County. So this past month, I will finish up with Old Town this week, where I'm going to the community. You tell me your issues and concerns. in the month of March, I reported out, that I will be in Clark Hope area, and we're going to meet on the 24th with the entire community. I'm going up there throughout the week to meet with individual stakeholders who want to present information, so that when I come back to the county seat, I'm coming back with objective information. I kind of consider it as, when I'm speaking, I'm actually making a deposit of trust into my trust account of the people. And I'm not going to spend that trust willy-nilly in the community. I want to make sure people know Asia has been to Hope and she hears what our issues and concerns are. And I'm following up on those things. That's the way I can impact it.
Yeah, a representative government is, to me, an interesting balance. I'm interested in your opinion, because we are not a democracy where the majority rules. You know, if it's 51%, then they get their way. Things don't really work that way. We want to listen to what people are saying and understand it and represent it, as you say, but within the framework of the law and the rules and what other kinds of influences that are happening, because we don't want majority rule per se. But I just really like to hear that you're going to truly listen to what the people say, and it's not just a hoop you jump through just to look good.
And that's really important, because when you look at this last year of elections, didn't matter what your race was, that's what the people of Bonner County were screaming, is that they wanted representation. Yes. They didn't want lip service. They didn't want a box check. They wanted to feel like they were heard, which is different, you know, than listening. Listening is very passive. Mm-hmm. Hearing it requires action, so that you're doing something about it. And my hope is that I continue over the next 4 years ensuring the people that I'm going to continue to do that, so that they trust. Because you're right, there's going to come a time when it isn't that open session where the public is able to give input. But that's why that representation piece is so important, because I will need to make a withdrawal from my trust account to say, you might not be able to be present, but trust that I'm representing your ideas, because I've heard you in other venues.
So March 24th with the citizens in Clark Fork and Hope, or anybody else that wants to come in. And that will be in the school?
The community center. So lunch is served at 11. If people want to come out and help serve that community, that would be fantastic. I've committed a day a month to serve that community. They do it every Fridays at 11 a.m., so their board will meet on the 8th. It's important to be physically present where people are. I live in Blanchard, so we're pretty far from Sandpoint. And one of the things that a lot of the rural areas have issue with is it feels like everything is in Sandpoint.
Yes.
And so my other mission is to bring the commissioner role to people where they are, so I can drive down the road that they have an issue with, and it's real applicable knowledge as I hear their concerns.
I love Hope. I lived in Hope for almost 33 years before I made the big move to Sandpoint just a couple of years ago. So I love that community and the Hope Community Center. It's very active. You'll get a really good turnout.
Yes.
Another question on transparency and communication is the Zoom meetings. And I'm really interested in your complete opinion on that, because I saw an opinion that I wasn't sure I understood. Is it possible to be a commentator, to comment on Zoom, but be anonymous, where that you don't know who I am, you don't have a video of me, and I could be anybody. I could be calling from Pennsylvania, as long as I know somebody's given me the login. Tell us about Zoom, and I know you do support it, but what are some of the dangers or caveats that you add to that?
So the Idaho Association of Counties identified a risk associated with using Zoom when you have a technology malfunction. I have heard the comment made by a commissioner saying that people can participate anonymously, because all you have to do is you put in an email address and you say your name. I don't believe that that's how you operate. You don't make a decision based on a what if. That's not something that's proven. What was proven was our community didn't just use Zoom. We came to rely on it, and it allowed and afforded our rural communities the opportunity to actually be involved and to participate. And so when I was making the argument originally, and the other two commissioners wanted to pull, I said, can we wait? Can we see if a disclaimer will work? I will write a disclaimer for this to address the concerns.
The prosecutor was willing to help with that.
Well, and in this case, they voted to get rid of Zoom. And then I wrote the disclaimer. It was reviewed by legal, and their response was it reduced a substantial amount of the risk. There is obviously still risk there because you are using it and there's an inherent form of risk, but there's an inherent form of risk in everything that a public building does. So it was, in my opinion, the obligation of this board to weigh the remaining risk with the value added. And I looked at it from an ADA accommodation. And then I looked at it from the point of our goals as a county, which was to have greater participation, which is active. YouTube was streaming, but it was not an active. It was actually intentionally inactive. Mm-hmm. And so we see we have verifiable increase when we're using Zoom. And so do we have a court case? No. So do we make a decision based on the lack of an imminent court case? No. So I'm thankful that we have that restored. And you saw again today, the number of people that were thankful, look at the snow. They were thankful exactly. to be able to come in on Zoom to participate. And it's a showing for our county that we welcome, because for a county commissioner, the only supervisor I have are the people. And I need the people, which is why I do my commissioner report. I need you to know what I'm working on. I need to tell you my report card, so that you can accurately gauge if I'm representing you. And I encourage everybody to ask all of your electeds, what are you working on? So that we're showing you the value we're adding to our community as elected officials to earn the trust that we are given inherently by running for election.
You know, I like your answer to the idea that, well, somebody could misuse Zoom in an anonymous way, and I don't know, you know, they're not a citizen or whatever. You know, on the off chance that there would be some rogue person that would care to Zoom in on a Bonner County Commissioner meeting, the chances of that are slim to none. It's, I mean, it could, but you
I think
cannot,
our videos are getting an increase in viewership
well,
now, though.
That's true, but those are the ones we're definitely watching.
Yeah.
But you, as you said, you can't make a decision based on some wild possibility.
When I heard the commissioner's response on that, I just feel like it's, in my opinion, another specious argument. It's not really rooted in the foundation of what Bonner County is about and how we want to present. And I will point to our courts use it. Our legislators are using it. Our
yes.
country is using it.
Yes.
So I don't know that people are having a rogue robot
Here's
log
the difference.
In. And so
you can look for reasons to shut down, say no, it won't work, or you can look for reasons to open up
and
keep things open. And
absolutely. And so I think that if I'm sitting here researching reasons to not do Zoom, I would have to, as a constituent, ask you, shouldn't you be looking for ways to meet my needs? And we had real verifiable needs in elderly patients. We had people that were patients of hospitals that wanted to participate. We have people that can't drive in the snow. Yeah. We had a lot of participation. And I will also say the county was still using Zoom in terms of our planners log on to Zoom to present to commissioners. So I didn't believe that there was enough work done to meet the needs of the people where they were.
So where are we now? Are we moving back toward allowing Zoom and with some boundaries around some legal language to protect if technology goes down and
yes.
all of that?
So my motion passed, and my motion was to reinstate it. So it was reinstated today.
Okay.
And so on the website, it has the disclaimer that I drafted that said it's not a substitute for in-person communication. It's not an ideal method to communicate important information on any given file. And essentially, we're not going to redo these hearings due to technology. So if you need us to know, you need to come to the building. And the community was supportive of that effort. There was no dissent
Understand
from the community.
Logic.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of common sense.
There is. And I think the unfortunate part is that sent our county and our community through weeks of just being upset with the new board over something that, when you look hindsight, what was the reason to not just listen to the disclaimer that I drafted at the beginning? And then make an objective assessment after a disclaimer was written. Why take it away and have require that.
Exactly.
It's a fight, because it was a fight week after week to get it reviewed. And I was a
distraction from better business.
Exactly. There were, yeah, there were real things we needed to work on.
Yeah. And I'm glad that Luke finally listened to his mother, if he's not going to listen to the public. All right. That's me talking, not Asia. All right. We're up against a break. We're going to do that right now.
Imagine hiring a carpenter to fix a computer.
Just a little whack should do it.
Or a plumber to fix your TV.
Think I found the leak.
Sometimes it's just better to start with an expert. When it comes to your car or truck transmission, get it done right the first time. Call on the specialist at Burnett's Transmission. Burnett's is absolutely the undisputed expert in transmission service and replacement. They've invested in the sophisticated equipment and certified training required to offer you affordable expert transmission repair. Cars and trucks, 4x4s and motorhomes, manual or automatic. When it comes to your transmission, turn to the specialist Burnett's Transmission on Highway 200 next to the Hoot Owl. Call them today for a free transmission performance diagnosis. 263-0589. You'll feel better knowing that the experts at Burnett's did the job. Or you could call your dentist.
Aha! Maybe if I just pull this... Oh, maybe not.
I switched to Boost Mobile and got a free Samsung Galaxy A23 5G phone. Want to know the best part?
It was free?
Nope.
The fact that it's on America's largest 5G networks?
Nope. It's the ding.
Oh, yeah. Love the ding.
Right? It's all about the ding. It's the dingarooski, the dingaroner, the ring-a-ding-ding.
Unleash your power to save with Boost. Get a free Samsung Galaxy A23 5G phone when you switch. Boost Mobile. Unleash your power.
And the ding.
Limited time offer. New customers only. Available on select networks. 5G not available everywhere. One device per line. Tax excluded. Additional restrictions apply. See your local Boost Mobile store for details.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is they need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and six kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. The folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest-rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Mr. Rogers said, look for the helpers. You can always find people who are helping. Thank you to all the first responders who put their lives in danger to help us when my brothers and sisters need them. We look out for the helpers because they look out for us.
Thank you, first responders!
Thank you, first responders!
Learn how you can help first responders by texting BRAVE to 24365.
97.1 FM is North Idaho's radio.
All right, everyone, welcome in. We've got it going on, as always, at the Speak Up table. Asia Williams, Bonner County Commissioner, is with us today. And Asia, I want to change the topic to planning and zoning. I'm not really sure what the time frame was. I'm going to say within the last year, it seems like, or so, the previous board split planning and zoning. And that was kind of a lot of disagreement on that. I'd like your opinion. Are you in favor of the split between planning and zoning? Do you think they need to be remerged? And what are your thoughts?
I was not a person in favor of the splitting, but I did understand what the prior board was trying to do. We were receiving a lot of files, and these are volunteers on the Planning and Zoning Commission. But that being said, the split, I am not supportive of. I've actually asked, can we put it back together or kind of increase the number? Because Planning and Zoning Commission was an opportunity for members of the community to actively participate in a topic that has such high visibility in our community. We have people from varying backgrounds within the community that some of them have moved here with experience in planning. There are people that have a lot of experience in nature and the environment. There are more than just, you know, the the same people that we have on the board. Unfortunately, I didn't get support in recombining or increasing the number. My argument for it was when we split it, we hired a hearing examiner. And so what that did was it made it so that we really don't utilize the zoning side of the plant zoning commission. We're just using the planner. And that's evidenced in that a person from the zoning asked, can I go on the planning side because I don't have anything to do. And so the argument that I made was a decision was made that decreased the community's ability to actively participate. And I'm not counting that as just in the audience. I mean, actually on the board. That is an issue that the community wants to be able to be heard on. It's a very hard task, and the people that are on the planning and zoning commissions are doing a lot of work. They take a lot of criticism within the community. And one of the things I'd like to kind of advertise is after, you know, talking with some of the planning commissioners, I'm going to host on the 17th of April an education session with the chair of the planning, Alan Songstead, Don Davis, and Matt Linscott are going to do some high-level discussions on the comp plan in LUPA. And you have to just thank them for their continued, you know, volunteer of their time. And this is an opportunity for the community to have a little bit of a meeting of the minds of the process that they're going through, because it is difficult. There are so many moving parts, but there are a lot of restrictions on their end, and myself included. I want to be very clear on what they're up against so that I can provide the support from the position of a commissioner to that planning commission and the zoning commission. I personally just would like to see more community members on those commissions, and there has been a consistent comment that a lot of them are from the same background. A lot of them are from the same a lot of real estate, not enough people. And so that has been a concern.
The majority are real estate who have a vested interest in really pushing ever greater expansion than some people might be comfortable with.
And I think another concern that I have is volunteers are very hard to come by. But in Bonner County, we actually have a number of people wanting to be on this commission. And I pay attention to the distribution of the different districts. So we have a District 1, 2, and 3. This board on planning and zoning is highly comprised of just District 1. I believe we have two each of District 2 and two of District 3. And so it does bring up my question of, as we go through the comp plan, are we representing the districts? And the default for the answer is there is no law that requires us to. That may be true, but is there an opportunity to help people feel more represented as we go through this very difficult task from the areas that are more rural? The Southwest Bonner County area is very different than other areas in this county. And I would like to see a more equitable distribution of the zones on or the districts on the actual planning commission. If we have the opportunity, with my disclaimer of it's a huge amount of thanks and gratitude to the people that do volunteer their time, because that's a lot.
Amen to that. You know, I hear from a lot of people who on a very kind of casual basis, okay, it's not like they've researched it or they're an active part of Keep Bonner County Rural or that they attend a lot of meetings. They just feel like there's so much development and there's so much going on. They don't understand why it couldn't have been slowed down. I'm going to talk to Vern Roof of Northside Fire next week in my program. And not just Northside, because they apparently have got a pretty good group of volunteers and staff, but just fire coverage alone is spread so thin because they were already spread thin, and then growth has made it even. People think they're going to get 911 response in 5 minutes. It's not going to happen. We're a big county, and they've got one truck, and if that truck is over here doing something, it is not coming to your barn fire. So people just feel it just in their spirit, Asia, that it's gone too much too fast, and that there needed to be smarter planning and slower planning, not to stop. You can't stop growth, but to control it in a healthy way. What do you think?
I think that there's a lot of validity to that statement. I think you look at areas that don't have the infrastructure to support the growth, but you're seeing that we kind of created a express lane for some of our planning and development of certain areas. And what you're seeing are, I'll use West Bonner County School District as an example. That school district, we're going to go down to a four-day school week. And that's beneficial for a lot of ways. But for the parents that needed, you know, their kids in school on Friday because they've planned a lifetime around a five-day week, that is a negative impact in just the structure of how the family operates. But when you look at planning and development in that area, the increase in growth is something that does impact our availability to provide services. And that's why you keep hearing, where's the infrastructure? You grow around the infrastructure. You don't grow in increased density where the infrastructure isn't there. And that's why we desperately need that plan so that we can do a good job of future planning and helping to control that growth in the areas that can support it.
And until that plan is in place, I mean, things need to slow down. I don't understand. I do not understand the heart of our county commissioners and our city council members who have done a lot of in-city approval of expansion and clear-cutting, even in a couple of areas, if you can believe it, in that are still within the city, that they need to, that they don't seem to really care.
It does feel that way. I know in our Blanchard area, the RV park increased density is a hot topic in our area, and it does impact the people that are currently living. And you get the question all the time from the community of how is it fair to the people that live here that our services are being strained while we pushed through developments, and how do you equally balance out someone's property rights to develop that property? And that's where my recommendation is that our board look through what development impact we actually have to see how we can address that issue, that we don't need to, we have an obligation to residents of Bonner County to pay attention to our infrastructure to make sure, and especially our natural resources. We have fantastic resources. We have people on various, from the Lakes Commissions to conservation, that are paying attention to the reason that a lot of people flock here is not just for politics, it's the environment. And they're heavily involved in trying to participate actively in this comp plan while concurrently preserving what people are moving here for. And they don't feel heard. And they don't feel heard. And
exactly.
We're trying to tear that wall down.
Amen. There is a movement. Now, I got this. I'm trying to remember whether this was a text to me or what. A movement to disallow RV park approvals in rural zoned areas. Is it allowed that RV parks can just automatically go into a rural? Have I opened up a what is going on?
So my disclaimer on this one is I am part of the suit against the county in Blanchard, Idaho over the RV conditional use permit. So I will not be sitting on anything related to that topic.
Okay.
I have received emails regarding the RV park code amendment, and I did let that person know. I will request that it be put on the agenda. The description...
Are RV parks allowed right now under our code, or is it murky?
I think it's as clear as mud. Because
that sounds murky.
It is, and I guess because one of the arguments being used on this particular case is it's a 4.7 acres with 20 homes, RV park homes to be put on it. It was passed using a conditional use permit. And so there's a lot of argument for that increase of density is not supported by the infrastructure. When you look at it from a perspective of a community, you have one tax slot that's paying into the infrastructure. But what is the impact of
all those
all
people.
Of the people on
yes.
it. So who is carrying the cost of that? And one of the concerns from the community was this is an impact that the community absorbs for the gain of one property owner.
Right.
And there's an argument to be made on both sides, and we'll hear out who's going to win that particular case. But it's understandable that some of what is happening is people are saying, I want to live in Bonner County. I can't afford to buy property. I'm going to live in a RV.
It is a cost of housing move.
It is. But there's also the person that lives here that says, I bought my land. I can afford to live here. why do I have to absorb that cost as a taxpayer? And so it is a delicate balance. And so that will be vetted out in court, but there is a concern, and it will, I will put it on the agenda on Tuesday and we'll deliberate, and hopefully as many people in the public as possible will give their input and ideas
That's
on that
next
amendment.
Tuesday.
This is correct, on the 7th.
The 7th of March.
Yes.
Tuesday morning, beginning at
9 a.m.
The Bonner County Commissioners meet every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m., what I still call the federal building, but I guess it's the county building now, on Highway 2.
And you can Zoom it, too.
And you can zoom it. yeah, I agree. I just think that the people that are around this one piece of property that's going to have a lot of people on it, yet they're only paying that one tax thing. It just seems like the original owner who's going to make money, the developer who's going to make money, and unfortunately, everybody who's renting there, they need to be the ones that are paying. Only them. They're the ones.
And that is going to be the constant battle, because at the same time, a developer has the right to develop the land. Land is an investment. It's a financial investment. And so that's where...
They can develop it, as zoned.
Yes.
This rezoning and conditional use permits, that's where I think the developer needs to pony up some serious money to get changes. Hey, if somebody's on 20 acres and it's already zoned, what would be not rural? Suburban? No.
AG, the ag forest.
Yeah, where they can divide it up with, and it's all good to 5 acres, let's say. Fine, they can do that. I don't have a problem with that. They're in the right zone. They've got the property. Go for it. But to get rezoned and conditional use permits and that, no.
That is the point of contention in the community. So, and I think that you have the right to request anything. It's not, and that's what we're trying to make sure that we respect, because it is a balance.
I agree.
I'm not going to participate of an anti-developer because they bought land. It's responsible growth, responsible development, and it does come down to the infrastructure and transportation aspect.
Those are good words. Yeah, there is a balance, but we do want to make sure that we've got traffic and water and fire protection and EMS, taken care of. All right, we are up against another break. We're going to take that right now, and we will be right back with more.
As you know, cold and flu season is still here. And the folks at White Cross Pharmacy want to remind you that there's still time for you to receive your annual flu shot for the best defense for this above-average flu season. And we also have the latest COVID boosters if you haven't gotten yours yet. And both shots are covered by most healthcare plans. To find out if these vaccines are right for you, contact us at White Cross Pharmacy in Sandpoint, Spirit Lake, Priest River, or Old Town. White Cross Pharmacy.
What's better than the perfect cut of meat for a tasty meal? That's easy. The perfect cut of meat on sale.
Super One Foods 12-hour meat sale this Thursday only, with great savings on USDA Choice Boneless Beef New York Steak, $7.98 a pound. Boneless Beef Sirloin Tip Roast, $3.98 a pound. Prairie Fresh Boneless Pork Loin Roast, $1.98 a pound.
Super One Foods 12-hour meat sale this Thursday only. The savings are sizzling.
So, what are you reading?
I'm checking out the ratings on the new TVs, and it looks like Samsung, LG, and Sony got the best scores.
Just like last year. What about those new high dynamic range TVs?
They got the highest scores of all, but their prices are really high.
Did you check online?
Yeah, their prices were about the same.
Well, there's one place where we can get a hot deal on those top-rated models.
Where?
At Video Only. Check out the ratings on TV stores.
I see. Video Only scored better than the others.
So, if you want the best deal on the best TVs,
then we should take our TV ratings and head over to top-rated Video Only.
At Video Only, you won't find huge stores with refrigerators or microwaves, but you will find the best deals on top-rated TVs, soundbars, and monitors. Shop around. Just make sure you visit Video Only, because if you don't,
you'll be sorry.
On Division, north of Francis. Video Only.
Save now with Bi-Mart's latest membership savings book, arriving exclusively in our members' mailboxes this week. Inside, you'll find 16 pages of store-wide savings in every department, including everything you need to get spring ready for lawn and garden season. Plus, stock up on pantry essentials, save on pet supplies, and more. Bi-Mart is your home for Northwest value. Save now with our latest savings book at Bi-Mart, your employee-owned membership store.
Would you know what to do in a poison emergency? Would you know whom to call? Well, the answer is Poison Help. 1-800-222-1222. Poison Help is a 24/7 government hotline staffed by poison experts. It's free to call and available in over 100 languages. Every second counts in a poison emergency. Don't waste it wondering who to call. Save Poison Help in your phone today. 1-800-222-1222.
Listen live anytime, anywhere with our new website, NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Hey everybody, welcome in. We are talking with Asia Williams. She is one of the three Bonner County commissioners that helps guide our county. And you are welcome in on this. The telephone number is 208-265-8255. If you have a question about anything that we've been talking about or a comment, Pat will be happy to take those and pass them on to us here in the studio. 208-265-8255. 255 will get you to the speak up table. Well, Asia, let me take a look at what your list is. What are you working on right now at the county?
One of my big priorities is to improve the communication, not just within the county building, but with the ancillary services, whether that be like our Panhandle Health District or DEQ or Fish and Game, to have a better understanding of how we can best work together. And some of that comes back to our planning and zoning. We send out this canned email to a lot of agencies for comment. But I think we could improve on how we're asking questions of other agencies so that we can get valuable resources to our community. And so I always have to thank Fish and Game because they're so responsive, so available and willing to come and do workshops. So that's one of my big goals of my first year as commissioner, is just to insulate myself within the community, which includes other agencies, and really understand how they operate. And I lead with a, how can I best help you? Because it isn't, you know, often people say, how can I help you, Asia? And my answer is, my job is to best serve you. How do I improve the communication? So that's one of the things I'm working with, as well as going to different communities. In Spirit Valley, I've accepted the post of our precinct committee woman. So I am the Bonner County Republican PC for that position. So it does marry very well with my goal of meeting community in their area to talk about politics, as well as give people updates on what it is that we're working on. I am co-hosting True Idaho News with Dr. Babinski podcasting. The goal of that is really just to pull North Idaho news into the Treasure Valley to talk about the topics that we talk about here so that we get more of a representation in, you know, the bigger part of our state. And just a real big push for me personally is working with our elder population on preparedness as much as you can when you're in assisted livings and community centers. I'll be working with Clark Fork Hope, and one of the things is getting like an AED in their center, because they use that center way more than a lot of areas do.
Oh, AED for emergency. Yes. Yeah, automatic. There is one at Pondere Shores Reserve. In fact, I think there's two there now. But yeah, that's not at the, that'd be really good at the community center. I think there's one at the Clark Fork Senior Center. In Clark Fork, I think they have an AED.
They don't. We were working on that to see if we can't look for an opportunity for that community to get one. And so that's part of what my goal is, just to hear what people have to say, to listen to what people have to say, and to improve that relationship between a county commissioner as best I can. I can't control the actions of others, but I'm definitely responsible for how I respond to things. And I'm trying to make sure I maintain consistency with the platform that I ran on of a constitutional, liberty, conservative, Christian, Republican, with also a huge focus on representing the people. That doesn't mean we'll always agree, but that hopefully the trust aspect is increased as people see me more and there's more visibility and people see me in their communities and they're able to say that I'm listening and hearing and responding and respecting their right to participate in local government and holding the door open for them.
Give us that platform again. You're a constitutional
conservative Christian. Yes.
Christian.
Yeah.
Listening to the people.
Yes. A representative, because that is important, because that is a lot of what I think pushed me into this seat was the representation. I was physically participating in what our community was dealing with, and that's what the people wanted to see. And so my goal is at the end of my first year, my report card from the community is I represented them, which isn't the same as agreeing with everything. It's that I listened and I respected and I welcomed the communication and the criticism.
I hope that you will keep me informed of these dates of meetings and workshops that you have. I know that I have access in other ways, but if I get a text from you or your staff or someone, I can make sure that I'll announce it on the air. I want to let people know that on March 24th, Asia will be in the Hope Clark Fork area at the community center there in Hope, beginning at 11 o'clock in the morning, to listen and hear the people. And on April 17th, there's going to be a workshop regarding the comprehensive plan. Will that be here in Sandpoint?
That will be here in Sandpoint.
At the county building.
At the county building, yes.
Yeah. And I just would be, because I think that, people have access to information. They can get it in a lot of different formats. And this is just one more avenue that we can let people know. The other thing I'd like you to comment on is when we were off the air, I don't know if we were talking about the legislature or what, but you were talking about IdahoSession.com as a really valuable website. Tell our listeners about that.
So one of the things I like to do is follow the bills that are direct to a county. And so Idaho Session is a website that was developed, and it's pulling the data from the state overnight. And so you can see first read, second read, third read. You can see who the authors are. It's a more user-friendly platform. And I have a lot of success where I want to see, where are we at with our property tax question? It's very clear and it's a very clean design. The designer actually did that for free for the True Idaho News Group to help the community as a whole, and it's free. There, you don't have to sign up for anything. You can just go and follow, and it allows you to just click on that bill and then send a question to your representative. And that's something that even today in our meeting, Grant brought up a bill about the DMV and how we're going to pay for that. You can go on there, click on that bill, and say, hey, I got a question. I need this to happen because you took money out of my county. I need a way to get that money put back in, so we need to restore power to local government. So it makes it a lot easier and cleaner to use.
So it talks about where the bills are, in first, second, third readings, and it will also tell us if it's passed the House, it's now
yes.
in the Senate,
mm-hmm.
passed the Senate, on its way to the governor, or
exactly.
the governor signed, or the governor vetoed.
Yes, and there's a specific button that says hot items, so you can just click on that to see what's hot. I scan it every day to see where we are with our county.
I love it. I did not know about this. Idaho Session singular?
Yes, Session singular.
IdahoSession.com is where you can get that kind of information. Well, that is just excellent. And did I understand you said that you have a newsletter or you have an update on what you're working on that people can also access or ask for?
You can ask for it or on Tuesday mornings I give a District 2 report. And so I'm telling you what I did and what I have planned to do in the future so that there's that transparency.
That's
from
me. That's online or an email?
You can see it on the Vote Asia Williams Facebook page. And then I also report out if you wanted an email of it. I actually write it as a newsletter. I could email it to someone directly. But it's my way of saying, I have a section where I give you an update of things someone may have asked me a week before. I have a section of the community contacted me regarding this issue and concern, and this is the answer. Because I have the idea that, if one person asks, someone else might have the same question.
That is awesome. This is Asia Williams, if you haven't picked up on it yet, in addition to a lot of other things, being well-informed and really working very hard. She's all about communication and transparency. And I thank you for that. Job well done.
Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. That's the program for today. Come on back next week. I'll be talking with Vern Roof from Northside Fire Department. He's one of the commissioners, or he's the commissioner. I wonder how many commissioners they have. That'll be one of my questions. Talking about how our fire districts covering rural areas are stretched and sometimes understaffed and in need of staff and volunteers. Find out how that affects you. We're taking your calls on that topic. 208-265-8255. Until then, this is Barbara saying, please take care, slow down out there, and may God richly bless you, my friends.